Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared. I'm with Vanessa, and we have a very special guest in studio. There's really no introduction needed. You know who she is. From Million Dollar Matchmaker, we have Patty Stanger. Yay!
Hey. Thanks, guys. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Patty, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep. Okay, Vanessa's on the line.
I'm such a fan of you. First of all, guys, little update.
Did you know that I picked you from the first episode? That Alon and Bennett, who are the showrunners of The Bachelor, big shout out to them.
Yes, big
they
shout out.
Kind of punked me, and they said, "Who do you think's going to win?" And I said, "Vanessa." And it was they were trying to push me in the Corinne field. I said, "He don't go for blondes. He's a brunette guy. You can't play me on this." And I would call Daniel and Vinny on the back channel. Like, come on, you got to tell me. You got to tell me. And they're like, "You're close." But they wouldn't give me any information, and I picked you. You were my front runner.
But wait, I love you for that. But when Patty walked into the studio, I heard her talking about how she wants to set Nick up.
Oh, like, what? Wait, no, here's... Wait, slow down. I have equal opportunity for male and females, and all Bachelor and Bachelorette girls are welcome. Olivia Cardi is one of my friends. Brianne, all of them are out there. But my assistant saw your ex twice this week at Whole Foods, and girls were swarming, and I think he just likes to walk. Next time she sees him, he's going to take off his shirt and walk down the Whole Foods aisle. I mean, that's basically what's happening here.
I mean, he's looking good. I would do that, too, if I were him.
Okay, so you wouldn't, would you move back? Are you living in L.A.? Or are you still in Canada? Where are you?
No, so I'm back home in Montreal.
Montreal.
This weekend I was in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this weekend I was in Toronto. Right now I'm in Florida.
Wait, what part of Florida? I'm from there.
Are you from Lauderdale?
I went to University of Miami. I'm from Miami.
Oh.
All right, so this is what I will do. I will fix you up. The U. Look, Jared knows.
I know what's up.
Sports guy.
I watch college football.
Guy.
I know what's
and
going
I'm
on.
I'm so old that the years that they were the number one football team in the world before they took Paola was when I was there. That's how old I am. But I'm old enough. You all could be my prom children.
Oh, stop that now. You don't look a day over 25.
But Vanessa, I'm going to fix you up, and Jared's going to give me your information, and we're gonna get this party started, because I know a lot of Florida guys.
Wait a minute. Vanessa, are you saying you're going to go on Million Dollar Matchmaker?
Maybe. Well, actually, no, we might be doing Real Matchmaker. Like, maybe Bravo will want to do Real Matchmaker. Okay? So, because I have a feeling that, God, you would be really good on Matchmaker, actually. Yeah, and Jared and Ashley should come on and give some advice.
Oh, God, I don't know if we want to give advice.
Yes, I would want to. No, because I was there during the Jared and Ashley incident.
Yes,
you
were.
I have backstory on that.
Yes, you were. Yes. I'd love to hear some backstory. Later on, we still got Vanessa on.
Okay, so Vanessa, I totally will fix you up. I'll probably give some dating advice. There are a couple of things I didn't like what you did, so I will criticize you a little bit.
Oof.
There will be criticism involved.
Okay, I want to hear this. Let's hear this. Can we do it now?
Well, I mean, I just feel like I feel like Nick is too close to the vest. Like, I feel like we need to get you a warmer guy. You are warm, and you were trying to melt that iceberg, and you can't melt an iceberg. So I'd rather you get someone that water seeks its own level. Sorry, Nick, but I'm telling the truth.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. Holy moly. Here we go. Tough love. I like it. So, Vanessa, do you have any questions for Patty?
Yes. Well, so many questions. So, Patty, when I found out you were coming on, I am such a huge fan of yours. I watched all the shows. My favorite episode was actually when there was someone from TLC that came on. Chili?
Chili. Yes. Chili.
Yeah.
She was our first episode on the celebrity
favorite.
Season. That was funny because that was our showrunner's idea. Spike Van Briesen, who is the showrunner for The Hills and the City and X Factor and a whole bunch of other stuff. He actually produced Million Dollar and Millionaire Matchmaker. And he wanted us to sit in on the date and like criticize it. And no one ever did that before other than the Manzos. But the Manzos was a lie because nobody knew those two guys, you know, the sons were really the daters. So it was a really exciting episode.
Right.
And Chili was shocked. She was just shocked. It was really good television.
Did she end up with anyone? Because I think she likes someone, but she kept asking her about
A lot of the problems are is once you're in the bubble, like we all are, it's hard to date down. So I think when you do find a normal guy, a civilian, as I like to call it, you really have to want a civilian. But most of us want our own level. So that's another problem. with the
our
fame
level,
game.
What do you mean? Like,
fame game.
A celebrity
fame
wants to date celebrity?
Either celebrity or someone in the business who understands you, because
well,
like director, producer,
exactly.
writer, someone who actually knows the way our work schedules are. I get a lot of complaints like, oh, you're so busy. But I go through spurts of busy and slow. So I don't have a regular 9-to-5 job like everybody else.
Yeah, it's different.
You know, and so a lot of the men that I date are like, oh, I can't handle this. And they don't like the carpet, or they don't like your businesses that you're in. You know, nobody likes that I'm a matchmaker. They're jealous I'm going to trade up. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that's a fair point.
Are you dating anyone right now?
No, I'm single right now, so I know what it's like. I'm actually really single.
Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too. I'm really, really,
but
really,
you're not going to be single for long. I feel like in the next 4 months, you're going to meet a really
Vanessa,
good guy.
Wait, Vanessa, you're single?
Yeah. Oh, Jared, I haven't updated you.
Oh, yeah. What's going on? Update us.
Wait, there's been a boy.
There's been a boy. There's been a man.
Who's the boy? Who's the boy?
There was someone up in Canada, because I'm in Florida. So up in Canada that I was dating, but that didn't work out. But it didn't work out for the right reasons, you know. Like
for the right reasons. If I had a nickel.
Okay, wait. Is he Montreal? Is he Montreal or Calgary? Is he Calgary?
He's
Montreal.
Canadian.
But is he Montreal?
He's Canadian.
Côte Saint-Luc or Hampstead? Côte Saint-Luc or Hampstead?
Oh my God! How did you know this?
Because my ex-boyfriend. Mark Gruber, yes, from Côte Saint-Luc, and I had plenty of Hampstead boys. Yeah.
Oh.
I grew up in Florida. They all come down to Hollywood on the beach. They used to go to the Diplomat.
Well, that's where everyone, well, I'm in Fort Lauderdale today, and I was shopping at Publix, and someone was like, oh my God, Vanessa, I'm from Montreal. I'm like, what? There's so many people from Montreal and Fort Lauderdale.
And I just broke up with somebody from Montreal who lived in Calgary. I don't know. They're really, by the way, Montreal guys can really kiss. Just putting that on the map.
Oh,
they know how to French kiss. Like,
well, I was about to say, most of it's European.
California guys cannot kiss. I don't know what the story is.
Yeah, but there's a huge French population in Montreal.
But Jared can kiss, so maybe Jared's going to give kissing lessons.
Damn right, girl.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
You can kiss.
National TV. I like it. So Patty, what's new? So you said you're single right now. So
I'm single right now.
So what's going on in your life?
Well, I took a break off television for a year. I know that's shocking. And I went into the scripted, and there's going to be something really huge that'll be announced in the next 2 weeks in scripted television.
That's very exciting.
And some other things on my website. We're about building my website right now to make it an informational membership channel. You can go to pattynose.com, register. It'll be launched in the next, probably by Valentine's of next year. And it's really going to be it's going to be like where I give webinars and I call you personally and give you advice.
A lot of
products. We have Attracting a Soulmate. We have the Millionaire Secret Talks with Joe Vitale from The Secret, How to Become a Millionaire for Business. And then we also have Patty's Playbook, which you're going to listen to every day, and you're going to be able to get married in a year. All the men are going to hate us, Vanessa.
In a year?
I'm going to teach them how to rope that ring in.
Wait, you're going to teach the guys or you're going to teach the girls?
Girls. But I have guy stuff. The Millionaire Secret Talk is really for the guys so they can become rich.
So you want the guys to become rich, and then you want the girls to marry those rich guys?
Absolutely. Oh, can I say that? Oh, we're on a podcast.
You can say, we can believe it.
We're on iHeart.
We're fine. We're good.
It's like Bravo. We're on iHeart. I can F it.
Yeah. We'll believe that right out. Don't you worry about that.
Don't I have one?
You have millionaire women as well?
Yes, we have millionaire women too, which is really hard because they never want to date down. They want Bill Gates that looks like Brad Pitt. Like, that doesn't exist. Get a life.
They do.
Oh, yeah, because there's so many of them running around. Have you looked at the Forbes 400? They're 90. Okay, and other than Kylie Jenner, which is, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Said that's launching in Valentine's Day next year?
Yeah, but what you're going to do is you're going to register now. In the next 6 months, I might personally call you. I might do a webinar. We're doing little things along the way, but the official launch is probably 2019 Valentine's Day because it'll have everything on this one site. So we're launching soon.
And I noticed when I said Million Dollar Matchmaker, you just said matchmaker.
Well, I mean, I love we. Thanks, Mark Juris. I love you. I love we, but Matchmaker is really where I was known for. It's a different kind of show. So it was what she was describing was chilly. It's not the same show as Million Dollar Matchmaker, which is what Ashley was on.
Yes.
And there is the original and the authentic to that show that is still iconic. It's in 200 countries. It's on Hulu and Amazon. Bravo was so wonderful to me during that period. And I kind of miss it. It's like going back to high school. I miss my old team.
Yeah, it's your home.
You know, but I still love we. It's just a different energy.
Yeah.
My audience, really, to be honest with you, is at Bravo. I mean, I have to be honest. That was a bigger audience, and it was our real audience. We started that network. Me, Jeff, and Vicky. It was like we were the first three shows, you know, on the air before Kathy and Inside the Actor's Studio and Andy's show. So
yeah.
We were one of the originals. So I still miss that place.
Yeah, that's home. You can always go back to it.
Yeah, I could always go back. But I mean, I love the fact that Bravo has grown so much over the years.
Huge.
And my friends are all stars now. Mm-hmm. And the ratings are amazing. And Frances was my development. I think she was my vice president at the time. Now she's president of the network. And she made that network go with Shari Levine, who's my VP.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did an amazing job. Because you have to realize, we had a point where we're in this building in Burbank. And Bravo was in this building, and they didn't have receptionists. You had to knock on the door and buzz, and there was nobody there. And now I look at it, and they're huge.
Like,
they're universal now, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? So you're a third generation matchmaker.
Correct.
That's what
mm-hmm.
you're known for.
Mm-hmm.
How did you even get into the matchmaking business?
My grandmother and my mother did it for the local temple. And I was Jewish and in Jersey, and I liked all the Goyim boys, all the non-Jewish boys, all the blonde, all-American Aryan types. So I went to Christchurch dance with my girlfriends who were Jewish, and we liked these Gentile boys. So I was fixing all my friends up, and the priest came over and he was like, you know, this is a job. You need to do this for a living. You're really good at this. And I went, I am? And as things went on, my mother and my grandmother were getting really busy with their business. And then I went to work for Great Expectations, the largest dating service in Florida, in Boca and in Miami. And that's how I learned the business.
And you're so known for tough love, but you're the sweetest person ever. You give off such warm vibes. I was a little nervous coming in and meeting
you. I know, because I remember your text, Jared.
Oh, that was good.
My text.
I read all your texts from Ashley when she was on the show.
I don't even remember what I said.
I stole the phone from her and she flipped out on me. And I'm going to tell you something psychically I saw with the two of you.
What?
Okay, so this is the truth.
All right, well, let's give a little. So Ashley was on Million Dollar
Matchmaker.
Okay,
so Ashley was a Million Dollar Matchmaker.
This is 2 years ago?
Probably like 3 years ago. And she was madly in love with Jared. Okay. And they told me her dog had died Don't mention the J word. I'm like, well, what am I going to talk about? So my showrunner got a little tough on her, and she of course started to cry, you know, she's crying virgin and all that. And I said, Ashley, give me your phone. Who's calling you? And she goes, you know who? And I go, give me the phone. I started reading the text. I said, he likes you. And she goes, no, he doesn't. He doesn't want me. And I said, no, you're wrong. I said, you need to start dating someone else, because this is the type of person that's going to get jealous and steal you from the guy.
Oh,
true story. Ask her that. It's on tape. We might have not put it in edit, but it was there. And she said, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. So I'm going to get you this really hot guy. We're going to cut his hair. I don't know if you're going to end up with him, but Jared's going to be really jealous. So I was doing it to make you jealous.
Mm-hmm.
That was my goal.
It would have worked.
And so at the time, you know, I said to her, look, astrologically, because I do astrology, you were fated, the two of them, to meet, and you were fated to end up together. But he doesn't realize at the time that he met you that you're the soulmate. It might take 3 years later.
Well, I think also with Ashley specifically, it was more of the idea of who I should be with. My entire life, I always thought I should be with someone quiet and shy. And like, that was the type that I was always attracted to. And I always saw myself ending up with. So when I met Ashley, it was like, no, this is, she's
loud and proud.
She's like the complete opposite of any girl I've dated or any girl I could ever see myself with. So while we got along and it was great, I was like, I was always fighting it my entire life. And then there came a point, I think, when things changed, and it wasn't so much because of that anymore. And it was so much more.
But you got to admit, you were jealous of Kevin. Come on. Be real.
Oh, I was.
So tell the girls.
I've admitted it.
So tell the girls out there that sometimes a guy doesn't know that they got it, and you know, until they lose it.
Yeah. Well, I think I absolutely agree. What I'm saying with that, though, is that I think a lot of guys will never admit it. And I'm just kind of not an exception to the rule, but I've realized that I might be a rarity to actually say that I didn't feel good enough to be with Ashley until I realized that I needed to put my insecurities aside. No, this is a true story.
No, I love him even more.
Well, it's just a true story is that like if I didn't face those insecurities and doubts, I would never be with Ashley, because that was kind of controlling my life.
You know what? You need to do boot camps for men.
Ashley has mentioned this before.
No, I'm not kidding. You would give greater relationship site and do boot camps for men. Like, my biggest problem when I would have clients on, like, I'll give you an example. Vinny's like my baby.
Vinny is the greatest guy ever.
Vinny is one of my best friends. Okay, so Vinny was a cliff diver. Ever falls in love with everything. And he was opposite of Daniel. And Daniel was like, I don't love anyone, you know, because Daniel was all like, you got to look like a certain look. And then when I put them at the mixer, Daniel picks not the most attractive girl that we had there, because there were way prettier girls there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? And he goes, because she wasn't hungry. And so this is a thing that I'm learning with you, Vanessa. You have to learn that the men can smell the chum in the water. They are sharks. pull back a little. Mm-hmm. Just pull
Wait,
back
what
a little.
What do you mean by hungry? Like hungry?
Like in other words, like he picked the girl that wasn't the prettiest because she wasn't running after him. She wasn't chasing him. He had to ask her questions. She was very evasive, and everybody else was like, Daniel, like because they had seen him on The Bachelor, and she's like, I don't even know what The Bachelor is. She careless. Go
people
on.
Love the chase.
So okay. My issue is that I have to be the one that has to be the go-getter because
no.
People think like, oh my God, there's a lineup of men. There isn't. Like, I have to be the one that has to have the ball.
You sound like Olivia. You know, Olivia says the same thing. Okay. No, it's listen, true. You're it's doing true. It wrong. If there's, look, do you want a lot of men or do you want one man?
I want a man.
Okay.
That's it.
Do you want the man? No, you don't want a man. You want the man that's right for you. So in order to get the man that's right for you, he has to show up as the alpha for you to become the beta. If you become the alpha, he's going to become the beta, and then you're going to lose interest because you're chasing. It's exhausting to chase. After a full day of hair and makeup and getting your nails done, do you really want to chase?
No.
Okay, so what you get in the beginning is what you get in the end. So then you're going to do all the work in the relationship plus have the children and take care of the kids. You want to do it all? Because by 30, you'll be dead. So that's not what you do.
Yeah, but aren't you also saying...
I'm turning 31.
But aren't you also telling Vanessa at the same time that she needs to pull back a little bit to kind of create a chase?
Yes, exactly, which is what I was saying.
But that's the thing. I
don't feel you do that. My intuition doesn't tell me.
If I completely pull back, then there's going to be no one there.
No, not pull back where you don't answer the phone or not responsive in communication. But like if you go online, you wait for them to hit you up. You can pick on Bumble and you can pick on Tinder and say, hi, I'm Bumble, and pull back and let him ask you for the number. If he gives you his number, you say, I'm kind of old school. I prefer you to call me. Because if he calls you, that's showing. You know, out of like if I'm on Bumble and I give my number out to five guys, two will show up calling me. The rest will just like, because they gave me their number. And I'm like, dude, I'm not chasing you.
Right.
Like, that's the end of that. If you want me, you call me. You're the girl, not the boy. He who has the penis does the chasing.
The penis does the chasing. I'm writing this down. Penis does chasing.
Remember, the penis goes inside the vagina. You are the receiver. They're the giver.
Hold on. I got to take more notes. So you're telling me.
What'd you say, Ben? What'd you say?
I said it's been so long. Is that how it works?
But think about it. It's biology. The technology has changed, but not the biology. Men are still the men. And if you allow them to have the 11 o'clock hookup, or you allow them to you ask out and set the weekend dates, or make the reservations, or check in when you travel at the airport, you become the man. And then you're never going to come back from that as the man.
Right.
You're always going to be the woman.
Well, right. I think men in general just want to provide. Right. Like, they want to be the alpha.
Well, you're Scorpio, right? Because I remember you're Scorpio. So
yes.
Scorpios are very strong in that genre. They have emotional side to them. But they also, to a Pisces who's very intuitive and psychic, like, she's super psychic, Ashley, and very sensitive, and that's why she cries a lot. So a Scorpio man's going to want to take and provide for his sensitive Pisces woman. Mm-hmm. If the Pisces is the alpha, the Scorpio would run away. It would be disgusting for a Scorpio.
But it's so interesting because now that Ashley and I have been dating and engaged, she's the alpha. And I'm the beta.
That she's in Bridezilla mode.
It's not even Bridezilla mode. It's just more so like, I don't know if it's a Scorpio in me, but I'm very easygoing.
Right.
And so like Ashley needs someone who's like that because she's very controlling in her life. So she'll just tell me what to do a lot of times. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I don't
But you
care.
Know, she's also, was she raised on the East Coast or here?
Yeah, East Coast.
And
Virginia,
she's Italian,
Virginia.
Right? Is she Italian?
Yeah, you're
So
dad.
That's why. So it's the Jewish-Italian thing on the East Coast where we're
right.
like, all right, we got you. Now let me just handle everything. I'll do it better. I'll make a better reservation. I'll make a better this, better that.
Well, I'll do things for her, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll take
obviously.
Like,
you're
there's
not
like
that
areas
lazy.
Where I'm controlling and there's areas where she's controlling.
She got the ring. You get a free pass for a whole year. You just sit back and let her do everything because that ring, you know, is so expensive. Okay.
I know. Bada bing, bada bing. Well, I knew as soon as we started dating, I needed to put a ring on it fast.
Right. But you realize when you get the ring, you're going to get everything for the year. Lots of
It's going to be a good year.
I do have to leave, but Patty, right before I leave, if I'm a Libra, what kind of...
Aquarius and Gemini. Aquarius, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Leo. Those five.
Aquarius, yeah.
But remember, every sign has a component of Mars, Venus, Moon, all the personal planets. So you might get a Capricorn with Leo rising. You might get a Cancer with Moon and Venus. You know, it depends where your chart's laid out. I have to do your chart. So when you get my number, I'll look at your chart. And I'll tell you when the progressions are, when you're going to, the peak periods to look for men.
Oh, girl. I definitely need your contact info. Derek, can you give her my...
Of course. I will pass on contact info.
Sherry's not going to, like, let me leave without that.
Come on
now. This was the whole podcast.
All right. Now I got to go do my auntie duties.
Now, Vanessa, before you go, I have to ask you and Patty one great question.
Okay.
How, you know, like, why is great, healthy hair important to you?
Oh my God, it's everything.
Come on now, isn't
it's
it everything?
It's everything. If you have a bad hair day, you might as well just kill yourself.
Seriously.
Okay.
Yeah, no, healthy hair is everything.
And thick hair, and you want hair to grow on top. And the reason is because everybody's wearing extensions and wigs. So when you see Beyonce or see Rihanna or see any of these chicks running around with these big hair, nobody has hair like that. Ashley's one of the few.
Which celebrity has the best hair?
Oh, well, I just saw Khloe Kardashian yesterday, and I thought her hair looked super sexy, blonde, and amazing. Like, she had thick, she had that thick blonde, you know, surfer hairdo, and I really liked it.
I love, well, since we're on the topic of hair, I love Sugar Bear hair. It's the vitamins that I take twice a day. Everyone keeps asking me why my hair is super long, thick, and healthy and shiny. I've been taking these things for about a year now. You guys probably saw it on my Instagram page. I keep raving about it. There's a couple of other my friends, too, that keep talking about it. They're great for all hair types. For all genders as well, and they taste so delicious. Jared, have you tried them?
Oh my God, of course. Patty and I were just talking about it. I can't help myself.
Oh my God, I'm addicted. I actually buy them, and I didn't get them free. So I put them on my purse when I travel and when I'm going out in the day.
Patty, you are dedicated, and they taste wonderful, and I may have stole some from Ashley and had a couple.
But, like, I don't think it's a male-female thing. I think it's, look, men need it more than ever because they're getting that monk dew on top and the receding hairline.
The monk dew? What's the monk
dew? The little circle on the top of their head.
Oh,
and
God.
If you've got a lot of testosterone, you know, you're going to shed. You're going to shed.
Oh, God, I'm shedding. I need
Jared,
some Sugar Bear
hair. Jared, you have, like, amazing hair, so definitely
Patty,
Sugar Bear.
Stop
Sugar
that.
Bear's working, clearly.
It's working perfectly. You know the Sugar Bear hair has much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli, as much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries, and as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs. There's nutrients in Sugar Bear hair. Fans also found out their nails and skin quality improve over time from Sugar Bear hair.
You always, whenever you take, like, a vitamin, your nails grow fast.
Holy crap. Yeah. I didn't even know this. Sugar Bear hair is the best thing I've ever heard of. Yeah. If you go to sugarbearhair.com/help, you can go there for beautiful hair and a healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/help. Go check it out today. For healthier hair. Vanessa, thank you so much for coming in. I know you have to do your aunt duties.
Yes, I got to do my aunt duties. I'm going to go take my Sugar Bear hair pills now, and that's all
day. All right, perfect. Thanks,
bye, Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Talk to you later.
Patty, it was so nice to meet you.
Okay, I'm going to be down at Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to be down at Fort Lauderdale in September, so we'll hang. Okay.
Come to Hampstead and Cold St. Luke.
I will. Oh, my God. Or Calgary.
All right. Thanks, Vanessa.
Those Canadian boys, man.
So, Patty, you going to hook up Vanessa? What's going on?
I'm going to find somebody for Vanessa. I have all my bachelor girls. Like, all of them. I have a lot of them.
Oh, we got to do Olivia, too.
Yeah, we got to do Olivia. Olivia finally moved to Seattle. I like that place better for her than like, you know, Nashville.
New York?
No,
well,
Nashville.
She went from New York to Nashville, and now she's in Seattle.
Yeah,
she's been hopping all around.
But I like Seattle. I mean, it's got a more of a quieter energy, and she's like hike girl, and it's a good place for her.
I've never been, so I can't tell.
It's beautiful. I used to work there, so it's beautiful.
Ooh.
And then you can go to Vancouver from there because you can take the little ferry over.
Yeah, one of my best friends lives in Vancouver. He actually, random story, one of my best friends met his fiance, future wife, in Vegas. We went to a Vegas trip in 2014. Met her on the first day we were out. We were out at, like, the Venetian, I think. Exchanged phone numbers. They never spoke. We were there for 3 nights. Never saw each other again. He got back home. She texted him and said, hey, you still in Vegas? He said, no. They started texting, calling each other, FaceTiming. He was actually going to Seattle to visit family. She lives in Vancouver. They met halfway, spent a weekend together. He came back and was like, this girl's amazing. They visited each other one more time. They came back boyfriend, girlfriend. They did long distance for a year
and a
half.
It's got to be the Canadian thing.
It's unbelievable. He moved to Vancouver and then they got engaged a year later.
The Canadians are so grateful when you, like, date them. They are. They're really sweet and they're super nice.
They are very nice. Caitlin Bristow is Canadian. She was my bachelorette.
Yeah, there you
the
go.
Sweetest girl you ever meet. Vanessa's amazing. There's a lot of good Canadians.
A lot of good Canadians.
So you had Ashley on your show 2.5 years ago.
Right.
I vividly remember this. You called me a douche, which is
called you a douche
completely
because
understandable.
But I wanted to get you riled up because every time I said if he didn't care. Look, here's the thing. If she was coming on the show, we wanted you on. You didn't want to come on. That was your prerogative.
I never got asked.
I asked. Maybe she didn't want you on.
I didn't know she was filming.
I wanted you on to discuss what she felt for you so we could transform that into a new guy. And I wanted you to be her coach, but she might have not wanted you. She might have been embarrassed.
I didn't know she was going on. She called me halfway through filming.
Oh.
That's why when you said, I remember you say something like I contacted her. And I was like, no, she called me halfway through filming.
She was feeling really awful. Yeah.
She called me and she's like, listen, I got to tell you something. Your name's going to be mentioned on Millionaire Matchmaker.
I'm a million dollar
matchmaker.
Huh? We didn't say your name.
No, you didn't say your name, but she was like, I just got to give you a heads up. Like, I don't really know when this is going to air. I don't know what's going on, but like they're talking about you and I feel like I should give you a heads up. And then that was awful.
I was very good not to say your name because we called it the J word. We weren't allowed to say it.
The J word, God. my reputation precedes
but
me.
But here's
tell
the
you.
Thing. When he was texting, I'd read his texts, and they were super sweet and super considerate. And I said, if he really didn't want you, he'd help you find love.
Oh, no, of course. Well, the thing is, like, I always told Ashley to date, and, like, I always knew, listen, I always knew that I might have to live with the consequences of my actions one day, because, I, like I said, like, the reasons why Ashley and I weren't dating changed over time, and I don't think that's absurd to say, because we were friends for 2.5 years.
But you spent a lot of time with her.
All the time.
Right.
We were so
close.
You were,
close. Like, best friends.
Oh, yeah, and then there came a time, like, after Bachelor in Paradise Season 3, with the whole Kayla and I situation, it didn't work out. Like, I kind of just went into a hole, because I was like, I love spending time with Ashley, but there's no way I can go back to, like, even admitting I have feelings to her, or admitting that I was confused in any way, because how could I possibly do that to someone after everything that's happened? Because the only reason I wanted her to go on Bachelor in Paradise 3 was to date other people for a multitude of reasons. One, so we could figure this out, because I always knew that there was going to have to come a time in Ashley and mine relationship where it was going to, like, go in one of two directions. Mm-hmm. And if I was being completely honest, even when she was filming Million Dollar Matchmaker, of course, like, I had confused feelings about Ashley.
But you know what's really weird is that Daniel, Vinny, I don't even know if I asked Nick. They didn't know this was the way it was going to go down.
No, like, I never told anybody.
I remember when I called Vinny, and he goes, I know, I'm in shock too. And he talked to Nick, and he said to me, I can't believe this. Because you were jumping on the couch like Tom Cruise style. And
oh,
I
yeah.
was like, what?
I've never been happier.
I call it the Bachelor miracle, and I say there are miracles in this world. I use you guys as the miracle.
I played this
Even if you get divorced, which I don't think you ever will. I think you'll have children and go on to old age.
I always
say, like, this is the miracle, because there's always an exception to the rule. He's not that into you. Greg is out there, who's coming on.
Yeah.
And he wrote that book. And whenever I think of the movie, I think the exception to the rule, right? We always talk about that.
Yes.
You're the exception to the rule.
If
there's one of you, there's got to be more of you.
There is more of me. I think the problem with guys, though, is that they want to put on this facade that they have everything like together, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they don't want to, like, be perceived as vulnerable in any way. And I realized specifically with what happened over Winter Games before, like, you know, when I first found out everything, that I need to really open myself up.
I mean, that was
up.
Pretty amazing that Kevin came after her. Like, that was pretty.
I have not watched the show.
I mean,
so, obvious reasons.
Look, she had been long, hard known as a virgin out there, and that's her business, and it wasn't a religious thing. So I was like, God, someone's got to pop that cherry. Someone's got to get in there. And I was praying for it, because I felt like she'd calmed down. But I was like, I didn't know that it was going to come back to you. And I was like, when Kevin came in, I'm like, oh, he's a cute dude. This is a nice guy. Like, when they went to Disneyland, I was like, oh, this is really sweet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't see anything negative. That's why it was so exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting.
It was very exciting.
I can't
wait
for the wedding.
I'm very excited for the wedding, too. We're thinking next year at some point. All right, let's answer an email.
Okay.
We want to answer one email while you're still here.
Sure.
This is from Anonymous. Title is Not Enough Sex. Oh, boy.
Ooh, I had this with a very famous celebrity, which I won't tell you their name. Dropped it. Gorgeous wife. They're like 15 years in age difference. And he said to me, I never have sex with my wife.
Oh.
And I said, how is it possible? But you two, like, sexuality on Instagram. And he said to me, I know. I don't know what to do about it. So I thought long and hard. I went to my sex experts. We have Dr. Emily, who's on my website at Patty Knows. If you need sex information, she used to be the sidekick with Dr. Drew and Loveline. And the thing is, if you're in a relationship and you're not having sex, there's something wrong. If you're single, you just got to do the thing, you know, right hand versus the vibrator. If there's nothing you can do, I don't know if it's male or female. But when it comes to relationships, you have to find out why. Are you not making a priority time? A lot of people can't do it in the home. Phone's ringing, kids are around, whatever. Roommates, whatever it is. Television. Television's a big distraction. I mean, Netflix has ruined my relationships. I don't know about yours. And I think you have to go out, like, to the woods and do a picnic, or, like, go to a romantic getaway, or do a staycation or something, that you've got to put in effort and plan it.
I think
you can't be like, just like, you know, you're just going to, it's going to magically happen and come back.
I agree. I think people feel awkward planning sex. I think specifically men feel awkward planning
sex. There's nothing wrong with it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it either, but there is this.
I have an appointment on Saturday with someone that I,
ooh,
you know, clean out my pipes every. I have an appointment.
That's amazing.
I clean out my pipes every so often.
Why did you say Netflix ruined your relationship?
Well, because it was really funny. When it first came up, me and my ex were obsessed with it, and we were like, we would binge watch shows. And, you know, you didn't get one show a week. Like, I remember when 24 first came out, I was like, oh, this was our show, but we watched it once a week. So we once watched a marathon with commercials. You know, it was like, because we didn't have Netflix. Then Netflix came along, and I was like, oh my God, we never have to leave the room. We'll just go through this, and then you're tired and you go to sleep.
And Netflix ruined my sex.
Yeah. But now Netflix has made it better for me, because now that I'm dating, it's like, come over and Netflix. And maybe
Netflix and
maybe
chill.
We'll chill.
Maybe we'll chill.
That's what your t-shirts say. I gave them Matchmaker and chill t-shirts.
I know, so you can crew watch, shirts are the best.
So you can watch Matchmaker on Hulu or Amazon or iTunes or even Bravo.
All right, so this is
binge watch it.
This is from Anonymous. Subject line, not enough sex. My boyfriend and I have been together for 1 year and 8 months. I'm 25, he is 32. He is a doctor, so his work field could get challenging and stressful, which makes me considerate of him, but I feel like we aren't intimate enough.
Well, that's a really hard thing when you got a doctor.
I know.
So the hours of a doctor are impossible. It's worse than a lawyer because they have to stand on their feet all day long. So they're exhausted by the time they come home. And when they're eating a snack, a peanut, a this, a that, they don't get full meals, you know, cafeteria food. So what I would do is I would open the gates with a romantic meal. He probably hasn't been fed in a long time and feed the beast.
Feed the beast.
Feed the beast. Unbutton his pants and let him go to town.
Well, she says, at first I thought it was all in my head and I was exaggerating, but when I shared with my girlfriends that we have sex about every 3 weeks, sometimes it goes over the 1 month mark, they said that they are sexually active with their partner at least twice a week. For contact purposes, my boyfriend and I usually see each other every other weekends. Am I crazy? I've talked to him about this and he says that it's not that I'm not desirable, but rather that he's tired. Could it be lack of sex drive on his part? Help, I suck at dating. Patty, I think you hit it on the head right there.
You guys don't really suck at it, though. You know that, right? You're pretty good. I mean, the show title needs to be changed because you're pretty freaking good.
Well,
I would hire you in a minute.
Oh, thanks, Patty. Maybe. Well, I'm very lucky that I have a wonderful girl and that I, like, came to realize, not realize that, but, like, actually go for it.
Is Dean really bad now? So do I still
No, Dean's not.
Do I have to soothe him because he's in Venice? I can actually make a house call.
I know. Well, he's not here right now.
He lives next door to me.
But you need...
You know?
Oh, you're in Venice, too?
I'm in Marina.
Nick's in Venice. Yeah. Oh, you know this.
Oh, wait, Nick moved to Venice, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he's at Rose Whole Foods.
Yep.
Oh, Nick, give me a call.
Oh,
we need to talk. I know everybody in that hood.
I would love to set up Nick.
All his age group. Yeah. All the hotties.
Yeah, you got to get him. Dean, Nick.
And Nick, you need to switch to Irwin. You know that, right? Because Irwin's got where all the hot surfer girls are.
Oh, okay, perfect. I'll give him the heads up on that one.
Not that we don't love Whole Foods. Love Whole Foods, but I'm just telling you, Irwin's like where it's a little...
Place where to be.
It's a subculture thing that they have.
Go there. Yeah, yeah, totally. Dean definitely doesn't suck at DNA. I think, you know, just Dean, you know, it's Deanie
babies.
He's
so gorgeous.
He's one of the most
beautiful men I've ever seen. You're making a face? Is your producers are making a face?
Dean is incredibly beautiful, but he is not great with dating.
He asked me a lot of questions last time I was with him. He kept saying to me, did I do this? I said, you know, you're being a little overly confident here. You're being a little cocky there. There's a cockiness where Nick is cold. So there's like, you know, they almost need to warm up. I need to warm them up and gel them up.
Hold on. So you're saying that Nick is cold and then Dean is cocky.
Yeah. And maybe, and I think Daniel needs to move to LA and get out of where he's at. He needs to move here.
I would agree with that.
Because I don't think Daniel's going to find true love up north.
Why not?
I just don't feel it. Where, you know, Vinny actually has this girlfriend that's exactly like I thought he would end up with.
Yeah,
who's
she's
got a
gorgeous.
Great,
she's super sweet.
She's smart. She's in med school, whatever. Like, she's a smart kid. So I feel like East Coast, they're fine. I just feel like Danny needs to get here with the rest of them.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know?
How would you, what would you say about me?
You're going to be like pop, mama and pop. You probably will be like Carly and her husband.
Evan.
Because they're like the poster children for like, I got married, I got kids, we got a family. I'm living. Where do they live? Nashville?
They live in Nashville, yeah.
Yeah, like they live in Nashville and it's like they are the poster people for like this, you know, Alon told me the story that how Carly didn't like him.
Yeah, well that was played out on Paradise.
So the showrunner told me a story that she didn't like, you know, him. And Evan was like really, really upset and like really liked her. True Leo, wouldn't give up. And he said to her, look, this is the best you're going to do. And then she just kind of relaxed and went for it.
Well, I think she eased her mind and she opened up that door of the possibility of dating Evan. And once that door was open, Evan just
because
burst
that kiss
it through.
Was bad, right? In the beginning. And
well,
then
they had that
work,
date where they had that like,
they had to work on it.
The longest kiss with like chili peppers in the mouth and it was just
That's not really a good kiss.
No, it was not a good kiss.
But the way Carly and Evan are and like when she sings her lullabies to her kids, I'm obsessed with their personalities together.
Yeah.
I just love them.
I agree. I think Carly and Evan and then Tanner and Jade are my two poster
children. Tanner too. Yeah. Yeah. Tanner and Jade.
Yeah, Janet.
Yeah, actually, I forget Janet. Janet, right?
Janet, yeah. Because it's Jade and Tanner.
Yeah, I like them. I mean, there's like Rachel. I think Rachel's going to have a good marriage. I think
Rachel and Brian,
Rachel was tweeting me the whole time and she's like, am I doing good? And I'm like, yeah, don't go for the personal trainer. He's not going to give you marriage. Like,
which one's the personal trainer?
What was the guy's name?
Peter?
Peter. I was like, no, please don't make him the best. Bachelor because he's so scared of marriage. Like, I was like, don't make him the Bachelor, please.
Oh, it's amazing.
I was like, Mike Fleiss, please don't make him the Bachelor. I was like, so freaked out. Yeah. And I was like, because if they already done that, I was like, he's never going to propose. He's going to be like the twin guy, the guy who was one of the twins. Do you remember
the
one
guy?
That he had twins? He was twins and he was a jerk and he came on twice. I don't know. I got to look
you
back.
You know
and,
so much Bachelor
stuff. I know Bachelor
stuff.
History.
It's crazy.
Well, I want to hear the true story. So in the beginning, when Mike was making the show, I casted it for 3 years for you guys, like for free. He wanted to pay me, but I just said, here. And so Alma was one of the girls on the show. She was one of my girls. It was really Stormtrooper, as I like to call her. And it was an epic season where you had two bachelors, and they were older. They were not younger, divorced guys. And Alma got a phone. I don't know how she did it, from one of the producers. She calls me 911. She goes, I don't like anyone. I don't want to be here. And it's like it was 6 weeks then in the house. Mm. And I said, just walk out on roast ceremony. Chris will let you do it. And because I love Chris. And she goes, do you think? And she's the first in history that walks out, goes, I'm not attracted to either one of you and I'm leaving.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and that was in the beginning. Yeah, because I know
a lot
of history.
Why the hell have you been on the show?
I don't know, Mike Fleiss. Why haven't I? Everybody else likes me, Darnell and Brooke and all them.
So what if they were like, hey, listen, we can't make you the Bachelorette, but we want you on the Bachelor.
Oh, I would come on as an expert. Chris and I get along really well, and I probably charge them a thing because I'm obsessed with the show, and I'd fly to Maui, Mike, to meet you.
I would want you
on. I think Mike is the only person I haven't met.
You haven't met Fleiss?
I haven't met Fleiss. And I'm dying to meet him. I'm dying to meet him.
I would love to see you on Paradise giving it.
Lon wanted to do. He wanted to bring, we're talking about, we talked with them, and we talked a lot. Because I just love the franchise. I'm Rob Mills is my favorite person in the whole wide world, you know, at ABC.
Wow.
I love all those guys.
Oh, it's so cool. Well, it's so great meeting you. Thank
you
so much
nice
for coming
to meet
in,
you
Patty.
Too.
You're so amazing. I was a little nervous because you coming in.
No.
I was like, she's going to yell at me.
No,
she's going to beat me down.
I'm so excited.
This is going to be horrible.
This wedding's going to be awesome.
I'm super excited, too. I'm a very lucky
guy.
I'm Ashley's
so
amazing.
Happy that Ashley got her dream because you have no idea. I saw the pain and suffering. I was like, thank you, God.
It was a rocky road there for a couple years for both of us, but we're very lucky that we kind of came together.
Now you
and
just
got
to spread. See, the thing is, the two of you doing boot camp, spreading the wisdom, getting people to wake up, men and women together in boot camps. I'll help you with this. Like, I think you need to get out there in the trenches and teach everybody that men should not be pussies anymore about this. And if they like someone, go for it.
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
I agree.
And
to
stop,
that one.
Stop running away from your feelings.
Yeah. Stop pushing away the people that you deem important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree because I was doing that for a very long time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for
thank
Patty.
You.
Patty, where can everybody find you?
Oh, you can go to pattyknows.com. You can email me there. And there's millionairesclub123.com. If you want to join the service, millionaire or non-millionaire will fix you up. But Patty Knows is for the relationship advice.
Oh, Patty, you are amazing. Okay. Everybody go to Patty Knows. It's going to be amazing.
Thank
I love
you.
It. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm exhausted after Patty. I don't know about you, Easton. But no, we have Greg and Amira here. You guys are just finished up a book on how to keep your marriage from sucking.
Yeah.
It's so nice to meet you guys. Thank you, first of all, for joining us. So, Greg, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's like the word parent. Barrett.
Barrett?
Greg Barrett.
So, Greg Barrett.
Amira Rotola.
And Amira
I'm a nice
Rotola.
Italian girl.
Oh, beautiful.
We're
both beautiful couple. You guys have married for 18 years?
Yes.
18 years.
Holy moly. Yep. And you guys just wrote this book called How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking.
Yeah, this is our fourth book we wrote. He's Just Not That Into You. It's called The Breakup Because It's Broken. What was that dating one?
It's Just an Effing Date.
Yeah.
Is this a cursing show or not a cursing
show?
You
can curse if you want.
Okay.
We can just leave it out. We're fine. We're adults here.
I didn't want to be presumptuous.
No, so what you got? What guy you got? Guys like writing into, you know, He's Not That Into You and your three other books.
I was a consultant on the show Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
I was at work and one of the girls was seeing a guy that didn't want to sleep with her and asked me what I thought about it. And I said, he doesn't like you. And she
pretty
said,
bluntly, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And then at some point I said, he's just not that into you. And Liz DiCillo, who's the co-author of the first book, said, I think there's a book idea in that. And then that's what happened. And then Amira felt the same way. And then we wrote a book. And then Liz didn't want to write books anymore. She wanted to write TV. And so Amira and I started writing books.
Yeah. Holy crap. So you're a consultant for Sex and the City?
Yeah. I was a staff of 7 women and 2 gay men. And I was the token straight guy.
Let me ask you a question. I had a conversation with my fiance about big character.
Yeah.
Do you think Sarah Jessica Parker should have ended up with him?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Okay, good.
I mean, he's the antithesis. He is what the original book was about. Like a guy that's like a lot of the things, but ultimately it's just not right. You know, he's not down for the, you know, he makes you just work too hard and he's not that into it. You know, he's got rules.
All right,
he's got
good.
Too many rules.
I'm glad to hear that because at one point I had always grown up on the fact that like big was like the guy that the girl sees at the end of the aisle and the only guy she could picture seeing him, like the only guy she could picture herself marrying. And then when I got engaged with my fiance, I was like, oh, joking around, like how I'm her big. And she's like, no, you're not. You're not my big. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? I thought your entire life was about like marrying your big. And she's like, no, you got it all wrong. The Sarah Jessica Parker should not have ended up with her big. You're misunderstanding. Even the writers came out and said it. And so it's good to hear somebody who's a consultant in Sex and the City saying, nope.
He's sort of emblematic of the ideal that women have. And he has qualities that are admirable. There's things that you like about him. He's a stand-up guy. And he's got he's a guy in the world who has a sort of an alpha thing that women like. They just do, but they don't like it to the point where you're like, okay, but also I don't need you at all, and I'm gonna ignore you, and I'm actually kind of in this permanent state of arrested development because I still want to meet other girls.
What are your thoughts about this big character?
You know, I absolutely understand the idea that was the only person that really did it for her ultimately, the person that she really pined for and felt like was her soulmate. At the same time, it is that thing of, you know, there certainly was a lot to like about Aiden.
No, yeah.
Certainly
Aiden's
a lot
not a popular
like
one, though, is he?
So.
Aiden was never a popular one, was he?
You know, during the show, people kind of liked him. I mean, he was really great because he was sort of a source of debate because he's sort of the antithesis of the guy that's like, man, I'm doing all the stuff that you want and you don't like it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm interested in you. I'm attentive. I'm thoughtful. I'm actually actively trying
all the time.
Yeah, and you think of me as weak because I'm too interested, or he proposed to her and then she put the ring on the chain and he was like, what? But he let it happen. And, you know, so, you know, I think that was the whole point. And, you know, Sarah Jessica's not a great, you know, if you watch that show again, she's not a great person.
Yeah, what's his name? Carrie?
Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie's not. I mean, that's what makes her compelling. She's like Don Draper. She's just, you know, she's a sort of selfish, and she can't make the right choice, and you know,
she's self-sabotaging. She's flawed, but she's ultimately really likable, and the profound loves of her life are her friends and this unattainable guy.
Yeah, there was no in between. You either had if you wrote an in between, the show'd be over. And who wants to see that?
No, exactly. Well, I think that's why so many women love the show, because they found her character so relatable, where they have this guy who's like, they're pining over. He has all the qualities she wants, but he's just ignoring her. And then they have this other guy that they're not that interested, but he's like really there for her at every moment. Everything that they want in a guy, he has, but yet the attraction is just not there.
And I have to say the credit goes to the actors too. Like, you know, Chris Noth was just big. He just was the right guy for that. Yeah. Any other casting could have been like, I could have just seen like,
kind of swarmy.
Yeah, kind of a douche. You're just like, I don't want that guy around. And
totally.
He's gone.
Yeah.
But Chris had a little bit of like, you know, there was something about him. He had a quality.
You understood why she was under the spell.
Yeah. And Aiden was a little soft. I mean, I think they put him in what they took. They put it. They made him be in his tighty whities. Which was a choice to make him look soft to women and to men. You know, it was just sort of not a, and he wasn't ripped. He wasn't a guy that was just walking around in his briefs. He looked like the way you don't want to look in your tighty whities. And I think they wanted people to go. And, you know, that's the way most people are, you know, just regular people. And so, you know, and that made him, you know, they were smart. It was really well done.
I was big into Aiden until her computer broke and he bought her that new computer. I thought that was really aggressive in a weird way.
Now, that's
like
really
purse?
Funny because that's one of the things I worked on. So why did you think that? That's great. But why did you think that? You thought that was too, he should have let her figure it out?
Or he should have been there to help if she asked for it. But he went, you know, he's like, oh, I'm just going to buy you a new computer and set it up and force this onto you.
And also diminish
what you do by making it. It's a purse.
Exactly.
Look, it has a handle like a purse, and it's cute like you.
But he's putting
it's
the pieces diminishing. Together. He's looking at the picture and he's putting the pieces together that he
malice,
understands.
Though.
No, it's perfect. It's great for the discussion. But you're right. He's answering a question wasn't asked.
Exactly.
If a woman doesn't ask you a question, she doesn't want you to talk to her about it.
I learned a lot from that particular episode.
I got to go back and watch this entire season, the entire franchise of Sex and the City.
It's an incredible program.
I've seen a lot of
it. It's a huge educational tool for, men and women.
Because as a kid, my mom and sister used to watch it. I think, Sunday nights?
It was on Sunday night.
Every Sunday night they used to watch it. And then now with Ashley, my fiance, I mean, she loves Sex and the City.
Sure.
And so like anytime there's reruns, we're watching it. So now I'm like catching up on the entire series. Moving on from Sex and the City to the real life, you guys know a lot about marriage. You guys actually talk about social media and the pressure that it puts on relationships today, which I find very fascinating. I don't know if you could really touch on that.
Well,
sure.
I think the thing about social media is, you know, everyone's putting up like their best life, like hashtag living my best life, living the dream. And it's all so staged to be like the highlight reel. And then in comparison, you look at your life and you feel like, you know, your life is just... you know, fails and bloopers and what have you. But it's not realistic to aspire to what you're seeing mm-hmm. in these short bursts versus what it's like in a marriage or a long-term relationship. And each one, while, you know, the struggles of relationships are universal, they're also incredibly unique to each marriage and each relationship. So what you're really seeing is not what you're seeing. And I think that it gets also really cloudy with how do you respond to social media?
You know? Well, you start to get like, what am I telling people? And why do I think it's so interesting that people need to be a part of this? But the other thing was interesting. So we have two daughters that are 16 and 13. Mm. So they've never grown up without it. And so, you know, when I was a kid, back before recorded sound, you know, we snuck out to go do things. If you wanted to see girls, you had to go meet them. You know what I mean? Like it was almost like a little bit of an adventure. And, you know, I told my daughter one day, I said, you know, your window's on the street. You know, I mean, you have a hallway, two doors, and a window before anyone catches you. You could sneak out. And she goes, where would I go?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so true.
And I was like, to
see
your friends. And she's like, and I used to sneak out all the time. And I was only being coy with her and also just saying, because, you know, you see that stuff. You want to mention it almost in a way of going like, yeah, man, that's how you would do it. And she's like, yeah, everyone's on the phone. So their whole life is on social media in some form or another.
But it can be very inflammatory in relationships because, you know, people post these pictures of themselves being like adorable or sexy or on vacation or whatever. And the comments in it can get so sticky and so dangerous when you're in a relationship and you're just like, you're stunning, perfect, fire emoji or what have you. Or, you know, you see your person commenting on someone else's photos and you're like, why are you commenting on that person's photos?
I mean, your entire life is now based on social media. Like you said, like your friends, the things that you like, your parties, everything you do, your daughter doesn't even sneak out anymore for the simple fact that why would you? Yeah. Everything I have is right in this phone.
Sure. That's right.
There's nowhere to go.
Yep. And she's just sending you know, there's a whole language to how Snapchat works and how if somebody, you know, if they leave you red or whatever, like if you...
Red or unread. And oh my God, there's half of their face in the thing, not just like part of their forehead and part of the eye. So that means they're really into you. Like there's...
What?
There's this very strange language that's happening through social media.
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's almost the antithesis of sending all of you or naked you. It's like... little glimpses and
pieces
how much
of,
you
pieces of it
it's sort of going
changing.
The other
and
way
if, and if you're left red how long you're left unread for you see that they saw it but they didn't read it
they broke your streak
right.
You know like there's
then
a whole deal
whole thing.
If I was a teenager right now in these days I would lose my freaking mind. I'd be going crazy with this idea of like what do I send, what don't I send, like it's just
you have no time for contemplation. I wonder what that like you know like
or yearning or longing or like everything is just shown to you all the time. There's no imagination.
In the unimaginable days of like when you had a phone and you had to be there to answer that phone, you would go days without talking to somebody. Like days, and you would be left on that one thought from school on Friday. What the fuck did that mean? And then you're going over it, and you got nothing. You got 4 days to come to contemplate. And I think there's something weird about not being able to get resolution or understanding or be able to look 10 different ways at somebody. And I don't know. It's weird. But on the other hand, they don't know another reality. So,
well, people need reactions immediately. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like they can't wait anymore. Affirmation immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's what social media provides.
Right.
But the other thing is, too, if I, you know, like if a guy, like, you know, we're married and then I post on somebody's, a girl's thing like, oh, pretty or beautiful or hot, like that. It's no different than in your head. You're like, well, that's what if I worked with them, if they were a workmate, and I would go, oh, that's hot. You know, like you say nice things to your workmates that are meaningless. That they're just like, hey, we're friends from work and that's you look cute or whatever. And it has no thing, but written down on a thing,
it
becomes this thing.
Right.
And now other people are going to see it. But then you have to go. I think
now you're layering in a level of like insecurity and possible betrayal.
But then there's
a
thing of like, but you know, my wife's on here. My wife is on here. We're on here together.
Right.
We both know. She knows. I'm not hiding it from her. I just published it. If I wanted it to be a secret, I'd be in her DMs, right? Or I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
It's just that there's a point sometimes I feel like we take things so far out of context.
Right.
You know, we've gone back and look at people's old tweets and decided they were racist in context to the time when realizing, you know, it's just all evolving so quickly.
Of course, people are way too judgmental.
Right.
And they're too easy to judge and too quick to judge. That's the thing about it. And with social media, everything is documented.
And that's the thing about it. And it goes for lives as well as your relationship, which is comparison is the thief of joy. Anytime you're stuck in comparing yourself to what someone else's life looks like on their social media, you're actually like, it's reductive. You're reducing your own life and your own experiences, and you're already tapping out of your own life because you want to be invested in something better
and now
versus what's real.
Of course, and now comparison has escalated to a point where I don't even know if there's any going back. Like, Facetune, the app?
Yes.
I mean, you can literally change everything about you. Yeah. I've seen girls go on there, and it's just absurd on how much they change their body, their skin complexion, the entire look of who they are as a human being. But the problem is then they put that on social media and that is perfection. So the next girl is like, well, I can't post anything that's less perfect than that. So she's going to do the exact same thing. And that's where comparison comes in.
Yep.
You could also go on the thing and make yourself look like a freak. You can make some that's what I do. And I send the pictures to the girls. I hate it, but I was me. Anyway, it's so funny though, because the thing about it is, and ultimately I think this sort of comes back to a marriage. It's like, and one of the things I think that's interesting is nobody knows except you and the person you're in a relationship with. Yeah. Nobody understands it. Nobody gets it. It isn't comparable. Nobody gets to decide whether what they know about you is what you should do. The only people that know in a relationship are you and the other person you're in the relationship with.
But the problem is when you have a marriage and you have a relationship, you have all these shareholders that either came to the wedding or your friends and family or your workmates or anyone that's observed or been invited into the relationship. And all of a sudden, you have all these people that have thoughts and opinions and are weighing in on it.
Right.
And they don't really know what's going on and what it's like being in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, anytime you're around any scandal, unless you are actually at where it's happening. When people retell you something you know and you go, well, that's not actually how that happened. Well, that's not.
Of course.
If you knew the real, you know, there's always something that happened before. There's always some other story. What happened the moment before that person took that action? How do we know we blame the person, you know, who did the most egregious end of it, and we don't have any idea how they got there.
Well, today we lack context. Everything's about headlines. I do find it interesting, though, that, like, I feel like our generation, my generation, like, that are about to start having kids now are becoming more aware that social media might have some consequences to it. And I'm curious to see in, you know, 10 to 15 years when this generation starts having kids of their own that are getting into their teenage years, if there's going to be some sort of withdrawal of social media because of the awareness now that we're getting. Because I feel like 10 years ago, it was like everything was happening so fast and like it was so good. And kids had their phones at 5 years old and they had Instagrams at 7 years old. And it was just like, it was just everything was happening so quickly. And now I feel like we're almost taking a step back and realizing, okay, maybe, you know, kids shouldn't have Instagram until they're 13 or 16 or whatever. And I'm curious to see if there's going to be some sort of withdrawal in 10 to 15 years from now because our generation is being aware of that now.
I think sooner. I think you'll start to see it sooner. Yeah, I do. I think that there will be a sort of an antithesis to the Kardashians, and that isn't to put them down. It's just that they are sort of the height of that thing, right? I mean, she's
documenting everything publicly. You know, I do think that there is going to be a return to privacy to some degree. I mean, I think you see it a lot more also with people that are very public. All of a sudden, they're like, "So this happened over the weekend, and then they got married."
It's just it'll
right.
become a,
it's that know. Thing. I feel like people are recognizing the difference between like the private moments that are meant to be special in your private life and then what, you know, you need to be out there with for. I mean, a lot of people do have to be on social media for their jobs and for their livelihood. But I do think that lines are starting to be drawn that are a little being absorbed and amplified more by, you know.
And I think we're finding that to be less and less true. I think we go to things and see people's ads on their Twitter feed or like that. We're like, whatever. Like it doesn't, you know, just because you have a lot of people on Twitter doesn't mean that people are active or into it. You know what I mean? They want content or they want to be, you've got, at the end of the day, whatever it is you are trying to pitch to people has to be good.
So Greg, you also talk about how a bad proposal can set the stage for a bad marriage. and you can talk about your own experience.
Well, you just did it, right?
It sets the tone.
You're engaged, yes?
I just got engaged, yes. A month ago from Sunday.
And did you do the proposing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
How'd that go?
Wait, do a lot of women propose now?
Well, we don't like to assume that anyone's at this point. We want to make sure that it's okay that everyone does anything. So we always ask because
I think I don't know how you propose. Long story short, we met on a show called Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
Two, three years ago now. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, excuse me. And we dated off the show and developed a love off the show. And then We had an opportunity to go back, and I had an opportunity to go back on the beach we first met on Bachelor in Paradise this season coming up and propose at the very beach we first said our hellos.
Oh, that's very
so
sweet.
That's what I did. I proposed on the beach in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I can't talk too much about it.
Oh my God, it's so funny. We're like the only people that don't know his story.
That's
like, we're literally like,
I was on a show called The Bachelorette. She was on a show called The Bachelor. And then we met on the spinoff show called Bachelor in Paradise. We were on two seasons of that. There was ups and downs, didn't work out. We started dating off the show, developing a love and a relationship there. And then we had an opportunity to come back on this season of Bachelor in Paradise and get engaged.
That's amazing.
Oh, if you don't think I'm going straight home and pulling that up immediately.
It's a long story. You might need to set
this
a couple days
aside.
This
is very exciting.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
I'm
it. I'm very
excited.
That's not
most
She's
people's
amazing.
It, and that's not really most people's experience, right?
No, usually the experience is you go on the show, you know each other for a month, and then you decide whether you want to get engaged or not. Mm-hmm. And where ours was far different, where we started dating, it didn't work out in the beginning years. And then we started cultivating a friendship that led into romance, and then now it has led into a very loving and,
which is
and
so funny,
happy relationship.
So it's the antithesis of what... Like, you survive, your relationship survived despite it, and it's the antithesis of what the show is saying.
Exactly.
It is saying it is not really possible to make that connection in a couple of weeks, although people thrilled to watch it, love it. So it was a thing that was genuinely real and over time became...
Oh, it was very real.
It was bigger than the show.
And
that's
I don't
amazing.
Want to say that a lot of bachelor relationships aren't real, because they are. Like, right. I have friends that have gotten engaged after a month of knowing each other and now have kids and been married for 2 years. And,
sure.
And it all works in different ways.
Yeah,
but
of course.
But for us personally, it just didn't work that way.
You know, here's our thing has always been, like, how can you argue for less information?
That's the thing.
Less time, because one of the things in this book that we talk about is the speed at which you get married sometimes rules out what you know about the person, and then... in the height of all that love, if you haven't spent a lot of real time together, you don't have conversations that you would have had a year or two later that are important. You know, there are things that you do early on that set the stage for not knowing, and then those things that you've sort of ignored, like, oh, that we'll work on that. That'll get better.
Totally.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
And then it comes back as a landmine. And then, it's over time that stuff really can... small, tiny shit can really become big.
Totally. Do you find that there should be some sort of time frame of like dating, engagement, and then before marriage? Like, would you be like, you have to know the person before a year before you get engaged?
I think that would be wise, because I really feel like the first 3-4 months, neither of you are being actually who you are, because it's so exciting. And for whatever reason, in combination with that person, you're like the best and brightest you, and they're the best and brightest them. And you're so accommodating with each other, and you're so considerate of each other, and you're not setting any boundaries. And ultimately, you're just playing this game of like, look how easygoing and cool I am.
Yeah.
Whereas when you have time together, time spent together, you know, you get to know each other more authentically. You start behaving more authentically. And ultimately, you can have the conversations of like, you know what? That thing that I was cool with, I'm actually not cool with that. And it really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like you need... time to know each other before you actually know if you can.
And I'd argue you actually are those people. You are those people but you think the other person is responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you reflect yourself back to yourself when you're like, when somebody that you like likes you back and you're like, oh, I'm as good as I think I am. And then you become that thing because they validate you for whatever reason because of how cool they are. And that's a reflection back to them. And the thing is, that is who you are, but you think, oh, she's loving me, so I'm getting that love from her. So if she does anything different, then she doesn't love me, and that's going to mess up my whole thing. When in fact, it was you all along. And I think that's the thing you try to maintain is like, you know, you are responsible for your happiness at all times.
I agree to that.
You know?
And it rings really true, because there'll be even times with my relationship where maybe Ashley's not holding my hand or something, and I'm like, oh, does she not? Like, what happened? Is she not happy with me right now? Did I do something? And then I realize, no, just grab her hand. Like, I'm responsible for my own happiness.
Sure.
I need to take action, sort of thing.
Exactly.
I know that's a very small example,
you can read motive into things that aren't happening.
Right. But then if you don't make that in that moment realization, that thing carries on to why didn't you talk to me at dinner? And then it gets weird. And then it's about the movie. And the next thing you know, you're in this whole, now you're pouting and that's ugly. And now they have reason not to like you. Like, it can go to this domino effect place, and you're not present. Now you're in your head. I mean, if you're already having the fight before you get downstairs, it's you. That's you. You've created the thing. You've created the story.
I go through this all the time. How do I stop that?
You have to stop and go, what's actually happening here? What have they actually done? What's this fight I'm having?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she didn't do this. Okay, well, she didn't do this implies that she was supposed to do something for you, which is not the agreement. What is the thing that she didn't do? And are you sure that's what it means? And is there a way you can talk about it civilly? And also, are you too sensitive? And maybe it'd be better. Your instinct is to talk about it. So don't. Take the opposite action. Go for a run. Go do something else. Let it go.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll come back and go, oh my God, if I'd have said that, I'd have she was actually trying to surprise me for my birthday. I just thought she was being cold.
It's so true.
I could have ruined, there's a few times where I've held back and went, oh my God, that could have really ruined Christmas.
Oh,
I have ruined Christmas. I have also ruined Christmas, but other Christmases.
It's so true though. Sometimes if I'm into my own head and I feel like I'm not getting something and I'm getting angry, and then it's that domino effect when I start thinking about the past and I'm getting in my own head, I'll call one of my friends and just kind of leave the room, get some air, and then call one of my best buddies and just talk about something other than whatever I'm going through right now, whether it be sports or something way more easygoing. And then I hang up the phone and I'm like, why the hell was I so mad about that 10 minutes later? And why am I so okay with it now? Because it's just, I just level myself off.
Right.
I'm like,
you build
okay.
up this energy.
And also,
something.
It's like, I don't think I'm lovable. I don't think I'm cute. I don't, whatever it is that I'm not getting is me. I think that about myself. I've decided they do. And that you'll make that true because you'll act it out. And they'll feel, the universe does exactly what you want it to.
Right.
People do exactly what you want them to. If you show them that, they do exactly, they behave exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I've gotten older, I realize my feeling about people is always dependent on my mood. And I will hear something differently depending on my mood. Sometimes someone will say something to me that that would have been an insult yesterday, but I don't feel that way now because I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to monitor yourself. And the other thing is, I think that we take for granted that this relationship started out in a sexual way, in a romantic way. And so therefore they're not our best friend, like our best friend where we go, I can dump all my best friend, then mm-hmm. he's going to go home. He doesn't have to live with me. And one of the things that in the recovery stuff that I'm in, one of the things is bring your problem somewhere else. Take the solution home. Take your problem somewhere else. Come home. Because this is the person you're trying to protect. You're trying mm-hmm. to give them the best life possible. You want their area to feel safe and you want them to feel free. And you don't also you're coming in and telling them sometimes, I'm a loser. I got fired. And after a while, they're like, oh my God, dude, pull it together.
Yeah, because you broadcast your insecurities and then you start projecting them and your significant other starts believing you.
Right.
Yes, or also doesn't know what to do with it. Most of the time people go, and men always have solutions. And usually women have not asked questions, as I said before. You find yourself going, well, here's what you should do. And it's going, no, I didn't ask you. I just want to tell you. We want answers. We want solutions.
Yeah.
So we go home. We're like, hey, fix me. What is it? I've told you a problem. And that's not just how they work. So, and usually people, and when I say they work, I usually feel like in every relationship, one person takes a role, the other one takes the other. Mm-hmm. That just is the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it male. I don't know what you would call it. Alpha. I would call it alpha, beta, whatever. You know, some person is the.
Isn't it the idiot and the ass? It's not those two?
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I'm both in my relationship.
I can be both, but I'm probably more the idiot, right?
Is that right? I didn't say it. We'll talk off the podcast after that.
So tell me the secret. 18 years of marriage. What's the secret?
Well, I always say it's six of the best years of my life, mm-hmm. not in a row. I mean, marriage is literally like a great week here, an uneventful period here, maybe a downshift there. But ultimately, you know, in a marriage, when you're going into it, you build equity in a relationship so that when you have bad times, you can, you know, your love for each other and the history you've built together and the life built together can bring you through it. Because, you know, ultimately our whole life, going back to the social media thing, our whole life isn't a highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, and hopefully it's not a low light reel. You know, there's a lot of just like mundane, pleasant in between. But when you have the expectation of your life being a highlight reel, it's going to be disappointing. And if you pick the right person to marry and you're able to be in a collaborative relationship and have difficult conversations and
try and look at
have the willingness.
Somebody said to me, it's exactly like being sober. I don't have to be married for the rest of my life. I just have to be married today. I can't not drink tomorrow because tomorrow hasn't happened. I can only not drink today. So I stay married. We stay married till midnight.
I mean,
the next
really
day
treat it like a practice instead of an institution. It's something that, you know, it's like yoga or journal writing or drinking 8 glasses of water. It's mm-hmm. something you consciously throw your whole body into every day and try to be mindful and present and let somebody know that you appreciate them. Like you appreciate what they're doing. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's not 50-50. It's 100-100. You have to put 100% in it. And there's you either both win or you both lose.
I like that.
And your forgiveness, a winner and a loser in it.
Your forgiveness muscle, because if you can't forgive somebody, you carry that resentment around. That's what you're living.
Yeah.
And then eventually that person will go, I can't live with you being upset with me forever, because that's the house I come home to, or that's what I'm in every day. And, you know, look, you know, we were going to make mistakes. You're going to hurt. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to do something really dumb.
Yep.
Drop the baby. You know,
drop the baby.
I mean, people could do all kinds of right. dumb mistakes, or do things where the other person can't forgive them because that's their thing that they're hung up about. And the problem with that is then, okay, well, now we're both stuck in this state and we're not going anywhere. And even sometimes if you go, look, I can't forgive somebody, then leave them. Tell them I can't get over this, because we can't live in this permanent state of, and right. nobody, by the way, when you resent somebody, everybody knows it. The kids know it. Your family knows it. Nobody wants it to continue. Mm-hmm. The whole staying married for the kids thing is not a thing, because I guarantee you, your kids would go, I was 5 and I wanted you guys to stop fighting or not be happy. I could tell. So, you know, you really serve the relationship by making sure that you are getting through those resentments, or being able to figure out how can we get this so we can both move on.
Yep. Yeah, I think the forgiveness thing works both ways too, because I think you have to forgive your partner so you don't resent them. But I also think that you have to forgive yourself a lot of times, because guilt will stay with you for a very long time.
Yes.
And I think guilt and shame will make you do some really dumb things.
100%.
And that's both people not wanting to go forward. That's what people who don't win do. Yeah. If I blame myself, then I don't really have to do anything because I'm so bad and I feel bad and I shouldn't have, and I can't forgive myself. Okay, well, the world doesn't care.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
The world
right.
wants you to feel okay, and your partner wants you to feel okay.
And also, how big of the problem is it? You know, like if you actually let it land, is it a tiny problem or is it a monstrous problem? Because a lot of times the visceral feeling of conflict or fear or guilt or shame is so overwhelming mm-hmm. that we think it's so much bigger than it actually is. Like when you line it up next to actual problems, you go, oh, this is... 10 weeks from now, no one's going to remember this.
Oh, I absolutely
right?
agree. That's what goes back to what Greg was saying about how you can get in your own head.
For
and like
sure.
a small problem creates this huge problem because of the domino effect. And then you just take 10 minutes away, go for a run, do something that makes you feel better, drive, listen to music. And then you come back and you're just completely level again and realize, holy crap, that was the smallest problem. And that could have ruined Christmas.
Yeah.
That's right. It is. And I will say the reason that
it's
we...
It's an aspirin, not an ambulance.
Exactly. It's an aspirin, not an ambulance.
That's
I
good.
Love that.
I love that too. The reason I think that we stay married is that when we get out of our crap and when we do move on, when we're together, our lives get better almost instantly.
Mm.
When the two of us
That's
are
awesome
in sync together. Yeah. I mean, it's taken us a long time to learn. We've been long periods of forgetting it or not even wanting to try. I mean, you can get in a bad place. Things happen. But we just realize, like, every time we're really, really happy. Any event that has been really, really great, anytime we've had any successes, because we were together and both agreed that we should be doing what we're doing and loving each other. And it's hard. It's really hard to maintain, you know, but that is the key.
Greg, Amir, you guys are incredible. We didn't even scratch the surface of the questions that I had for you.
Well, you're incredible. You're fascinating, man.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we need you guys back in here.
I would love to.
Yes.
Count us in. This
Help
is
I Suck at Dating needs you guys back in here, because I've honestly learned so much in the past half hour, and I've gone through 3 of the 9 questions that we've had for you guys. So also, you guys have the How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking book coming out, and you have a signing. Can you tell me about that?
We have a signing on August 22nd at Book Soup here in Los Angeles, where we will also be recording a live podcast of our podcast called Maybe It's You,
which
is
you
a
and
relationship.
Ashley should come on.
I know.
We would love
It's relationships
that.
And behaviors.
Oh, Ashley and I, I'm ready. I'm answering for Ashley. We're coming on.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Looking forward to it. But so August 22nd, Book Soup.
August 22nd at the Book Soup in LA. You guys mm-hmm. can go check out How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking. You can meet Greg. You can meet Amir. They'll sign it for you. It'll be a great event. Definitely check it out. And then check out your podcast. What was the name of the podcast again?
It's called Maybe It's You.
Maybe It's You. Check out their podcast. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll definitely have you soon. And we'll be on your podcast.
Yay. Yeah,
fantastic, man. That'd be great.
So we just had Greg and Amira left. God, they were so wonderful. We got to get them back on this podcast. But we do have to check on a special friend right now who, usually is a host on this podcast, but is God knows where in the world. Dean, are you out there?
Hello.
Hello. Dean, you are joined by Easton and Erica. Vanessa. Hey. Vanessa's, you know, got aunt duties right now. She's doing her thing right now. Dean, where are you in the world?
I am currently in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It is 3:05 in the morning.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hey, happy to be able to join you guys. How's everything going over there in Los Angeles?
Oh, things are wonderful, but we want to know more about your trip. So what are you doing? You're just traveling around the world, huh?
Yeah, I think I kind of talked about this, right? I'm on the podcast before 4th of July. I just always wanted to travel to Japan, so I booked a one-way ticket, and then things kind of snowballed a little bit, and it just became this trip that is going to just kind of take me a few places. So I'm in the middle of it. I decided to kind of turn into this thing. Well, I mean, I guess me and some of the producers decided to turn into a thing where while I'm traveling, since, you know, obviously most of the people that we talk to are central to the United States, it'd be interesting to kind of dive into a little bit of dating in different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past 2.5 weeks, I went to Japan, Indonesia, and now I'm in Malaysia. So I've mostly hit Asian countries, but it's been crazy, man. It's like I'm traveling alone and meeting new people and just like spending a lot of time by myself. So it's been pretty great so far. And I miss you guys, though. The one thing I can't wait to get back to is, you know, get back to the podcast and see you guys again.
Dude, we definitely miss you. Miss your vibe in the studio. So can you tell us anything that you've learned about different dating cultures?
It's been pretty interesting, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I think that typically the Asian countries are a little bit more reserved with their dating, but funny enough, so I went out tonight with a group of new friends, I guess now, and they were like unabashedly honest about the things that they were have experienced and have like what's the word I'm looking for, like explored physically, all that kind of stuff. And I was blown away because in Japan, what I saw a lot of was a lot of like reservation and like tentativeness in relationships. So in Japan, I met up with a friend who grew up in the same area as me, but who also grew up in Japan. And she was telling me, she's like, yeah, like it's really hard to date here because, you know, guys are hesitant to make the first move. And, you know, it's just not really quite the same as it is in the U.S. And then in Indonesia, I met up with a friend who is a transplant out there who's been living out there for about 6 months. And she was like talking about how difficult it is to date in Indonesia and Bali specifically because it's such a transient culture. And, you know, people come in and out all the time, and it's hard to like kind of lock yourself into one relationship. And then I'm here, and one of the girls that I was with tonight is recently engaged. And one of the other ones was like talking about all of these like physical explorations that she was doing with a boyfriend like a year ago. And it was blowing my mind because it was like these things that I would think like even for someone in the U.S. to be like, I don't know, incredibly, I guess, explorative. And so it's just weird how much things can vary. Like, because I know Malaysia specifically, it has like a very strong Islam influence. And so you would think like they're a little bit more like in their shell and reserved and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like it's not necessarily the case so much.
Yeah,
I feel like I rambled on for a little bit right there. Sorry about that.
No. I was going to say, it doesn't sound like they're too, like you're saying they're reserved, but that's the second time you mentioned somebody talking about like a physical exploring of each other in a relationship. And I feel that like if you were reserved, you wouldn't really want to talk about any type of sex.
Right. And I know, I feel like even us as hosts on the podcast, like I feel like talking about sex is like a little taboo, or at least for me.
I think it's in the States like that.
You what?
I think in the States, it's mostly like that. A lot of people just don't even touch that subject.
And I know, like, obviously, like, you and I joke around about it a little bit, but we don't really, like, dive too deep into it. But they were just, like, talking about these things that, like, even I was blushing about because it was really weird because I came into, you know, this, I guess, traveling experience of thinking, you know, obviously, like, not having the intention to go on dates or anything while I'm here, but at least, like, to kind of get a better understanding of what it's like to date for both the locals and the people that travel to these places. And we always have like these ideas in our heads about what it's going to be like. And then you get there and it's kind of not completely different, but at least different on many, levels than you kind of had coming into it. So, I don't know. It's been a pretty cool experience so far. It's like, obviously, you know, I don't think I'm really spending enough time in any of these locations to really like fully understand it. I think that obviously would take a lot of time. I spent like a week in Japan and then a week in Indonesia, and I've only been in Malaysia for 3 or 4 days. But it's been a pretty cool experience to be able to kind of sit down and talk with some of them. I think one of my first nights in Japan, I was like walking around by myself, and I stumbled into this VR arcade. And I was like the only single person in there. There was probably like 20 or 25 couples. And it was just funny to like, not like I wasn't like watching the couples interact, but like, you know, it's like you're just kind of inherently around these people. So you kind of like are aware of it. And it was just like, in Japan, at least, they were much more, it felt like they were all in high school relationships when they were all definitely like in their 20s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Did it seem like in Japan that they couple up early on in life, and then it's more of like, I feel like here in the States, everybody kind of waits to get married into their late 20s, early 30s. Did you find it any difference in Japan?
I think in Japan, they definitely wanted to like meet younger. Right. And then it's interesting too, because at least with Japan and Malaysia, from what I've seen, is they like being in relationships with people of the same culture. Which I don't think we see necessarily quite as much in the U.S. Like we're maybe, I don't want to say more open-minded, but we're more, I guess, like willing to dive into relationships with people of different, I guess, ethnic backgrounds.
I agree to
and
that.
So tonight, for instance, in Malaysia, there's three main cultures. It's Indian, Malaysian, and Chinese. And I got that wrong, but that's something along the lines. And the Malaysians don't really date the Chinese. The Chinese don't really date the Indians, and like all this kind of stuff. And it's just interesting how we don't really see much of that. You know, like one of the girls tonight was telling me how she just introduced her Malaysian boyfriend to her Chinese mom, and how the mom was like a little kind of put off by it. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's like an interesting component that we don't necessarily normally think about in the U.S.
No, yeah, we don't think about it at all. We're very much of a melting pot over here.
Especially in California. I think other parts of the country might be a little different, like the South, having lived there. But
yes,
especially in California, it is a lot more open-minded.
Yeah. So that was interesting to hear. It's just like, I don't know, I came in not really knowing much or expecting much, but with maybe a few misconceptions or just things I didn't necessarily know about coming into it.
So, Dean, the question is, have you gone on any dates while you've been over there?
I have not. It's been great, honestly.
Damn it.
It's super. Damn it, yeah. No, maybe I should start going on dates while I travel. But no, I mean, I've been super, super fortunate. It's weird to travel alone. It's weirder to travel alone in this situation where, like, for instance, I was, like, traveling to Hiroshima via train from Tokyo, right? And I, like, posted on my Instagram story. I'm like, oh, I'm off to Hiroshima today.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, like, DMs me, and they're like, hey, my husband is a pitcher for the baseball team in Hiroshima. Like, I can get you two tickets. Like, feel free to take them if you want.
That's awesome.
So I went to the baseball game. And then
I saw that.
Like on the way to Malaysia, for instance, I was like, hey, I'm going to Kuala Lumpur. And then some girl reached out and was like, oh, my gosh, like, love to show you around and like, obviously kind of give you, like, a local's perspective. So it's been a super fortunate experience to be able to, like, I can spend time alone, which I don't think any of us really do enough of. But then I can also maybe get like a local's, I guess, insight and perspective if and when I want it. And I think one of the sad realizations that I had the other day was I've been alone for 2.5 weeks, intermittently, like meeting up with friends, like before, like friends that I actually knew before leaving. And I kind of like really, really like being alone. Maybe not for like an extended period of time, but I think that I've enjoyed it quite a bit, which has been kind of surprising for me. It's like, I don't know. I think that for me specifically, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time alone. And I think you kind of like develop certain like patterns of thought when you're by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then not lately, but like maybe within the past like 8 years of my life, I've spent it very socially. And you kind of tend to kind of like fade away from those ways of thinking. And, mm-hmm. And over the past like 2.5 weeks, when I've spent most of my time predominantly alone, it's like I kind of see myself thinking similar to how I did when I was maybe like in my teens, not like same thoughts, but like similar patterns of thought. You know what I mean? So it's just been like a weird process.
That's really interesting. I think it's just a growing process. Anytime you go to a different culture, a new country, a different environment, you add a layer to your character that wasn't there before. And so I think that's not only a good experience, but I think also when you tapped into being alone, I think nobody feels alone anymore because you have so many different avenues of hanging out with people and talking to someone every minute of every day that people just don't even allow themselves to spend an hour alone because there's no need to. You're just so connected with the world.
Right. And it's hard too, because, like, obviously, you know, with social media and I guess the ability to talk to anyone at any time, you're never really fully alone, mm-hmm. which is kind of nice. Like, if you don't want to be fully consumed by your topic, you can sort of, like, call one of your friends or, like, text someone or something like that. So it's kind of nice to kind of always have that ability. But yeah, I feel like especially nowadays, like, people kind of use, like, their friendships and all that kind of stuff as a crutch to lean on, which is great. I think that everyone should be able to do that, but I think that you know, it's also important to be able to spend time by yourself. Like, I don't know, just, like, read. I've been writing, which is very unlike me. I don't really write ever. So
what are you writing?
I don't know, just, like, random stuff. I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and I was like, I'm just going to start writing stuff. I'll share some of the stuff later on. Maybe I'll, like, condense it. And
yeah, we'd love to. I want to hear that.
I don't know, it's fun to be able to do that. But
you're like Jerry Maguire, waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I feel me on your life, man. I want to hear a little bit more about you and Ashley. I mean, maybe we should save it for later, but... What's going on with all that?
Same old, same old. You know, I mean, you were here for the engagement, and I've just grown more and more in love with that woman every day. Things are great. We went to East Coast, went to visit my parents in Rhode Island, went to visit her parents in Virginia. It was wonderful.
And she wore the ring, right?
Yeah, she wore the ring, wearing it around. Right. She got it resized at Neil Lane. She might have to get it resized one more time, but the ring is beautiful. She's amazing. Things are just really, really good. I've never been happier. It comes to a point where almost it's just too good, you know, where I'm almost waiting for the floor to drop. Cause it's just like, oh God, I've never been happier. Things are so good. Something's got to give, but, I just put those thoughts aside because, you know, don't project your insecurities. It just could be that good. So, thank you for asking, Dean. Yeah, things are great. Vanessa was on the podcast earlier. She's single again. She announced that
single.
I know she's single, ready to mingle up in those Canada areas.
No way.
I know, right? Good God. Did
Canada
I say that oddly?
Areas?
I know. I was trying to make it funny. It didn't really work out that well. But Dean, we miss you, buddy. We can't wait to see you. Please be safe on your trip. You're going. So where else are you going on this trip?
So tomorrow, well, I guess in 6 hours, I take off for Singapore for a day. I'm off to Greece for the next 4 to 5 days. And then I think we're going to, I would hope that we can check in next week on Tuesday. I will be in Paris.
Oh my.
I'll be able to give some hopefully interesting insight from Paris.
You and Vanessa can just talk in French to each other.
That's a good point. And then from Paris, I go to Amsterdam, and then Amsterdam to Dublin, and then Dublin to Reykjavik, Iceland, and then Iceland to New York, and then New York back to Los Angeles.
Holy moly, you are just a world traveler. That's amazing.
I'm like shocked right now. It's amazing.
There's no words.
No.
So if you guys have any interesting things that you want me to dive into in either Greece or Paris, please, by all means, let me know.
Oh, we will definitely let you know.
Maybe what we could do is if any of the listeners have any questions for anything that they want me to, like, ask people while I'm out there, I think that would be pretty interesting. Because I feel like we said earlier, it's like obviously a lot of the perspective that we lend, well, 100% of the perspective that we lend is based just locally in the U.S. And you don't really get much outside perspective, obviously outside of Canada too. But I just think it's so unique and interesting to hear about how it is different from one country to the next or one culture to the next. You know?
Absolutely. I completely agree. Well, be safe, brother. We miss you. We love you. Can't wait to see you. Have fun. And we'll talk to you in Paris.
Keep doing a great job, Jared. I'm bummed I'm not there with you, but I'm glad to hear that things are going well. So I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, man. I'm bummed too, but excited to see you. Have fun. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Later, bud. God, that guy is such a good guy. He really is.
Yeah, he is.
Every time I talk to Dean, I just get reminded of what a. I know this sounds weird, but he just comes off so pure. Like, doesn't he?
I just want him to find someone that makes him happy.
I want him to find someone that makes him happy. Yeah. I want to just hug him every time I see him. He's like a dog. But it's the most endearing thing I could possibly say is that he just, like, gives off vibes like a puppy. He's always smiling. He's always happy. Every time I talk to him, I'm just like, Dean, you God damn it, you're so adorable. You know? Am I the only one in this room that thinks this?
No, I get it.
Dean could show up at my door and look at me in the eyes and say, Easton, I just murdered your whole family. And I'd be like, oh, come here, you.
Yeah, get out.
Give me a hug.
Come in for some meatloaf. I just made some.
It's just, it's amazing.
He's a very endearing man.
I mean, he's endearing and I hate hugs, but I do hug Dean.
Oh,
so.
How can you not?
Yeah.
He doesn't even wash his hands. And I'm like, yes, you can touch me.
Whoa.
Well, you know, shoulder rubs, all that good stuff. So we don't have time for emails. We ran a little long today, but we're going to get to all your emails next week. So please tune in for that. A big shout out to Patty Stanger for joining us today. That was amazing. She was incredible. She gave so much insight. Big shout out to Greg Barrett and his wife, Amira, for joining us. They have their new book coming out August 22nd at the Book Soup in L.A. They're doing a book signing for their brand new book. So big shout out for them. Big shout out to Sugar Bear Hair. Definitely check out sugarbearhair.com/help. Yeah, for thick, luscious, healthy hair like we all want. And all have because of Sugar Bear Hair, so big shout out to them. Big shout out to Dean for calling us while he was in Malaysia. He's going to be in Paris next week. We definitely have to try to connect to him there while he's sitting beneath the, you know, Eiffel Tower. Ugh. And we're here in the studio in L.A. Big shout out to Vanessa for doing her aunt thing, but joining us for the first 20 minutes of the segment. We really appreciate that. Love you, Vanessa. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Easton. You guys are incredible. Please keep sending us your emails. Easton, what is the email address one more time?
It's isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
Perfect. We have the emails from this week. We're going to read those next week, but please keep sending them. We love reading them. Those are the best part of the show for me. So tune in next week for an all-new episode where hopefully we suck a little less.
Woo!
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.